بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. As we know the hadith of the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم when he told us that Allah will preserve the Quran until the sun rises in the east, and alhamdulillah, he's still preserving it because the sun rose in the west this morning, alhamdulillah. We're here in upstate New York in a camp called what? Lakeside. Yeah, I used to know that. Lakeside. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, and we're broadcasting, and then we'll be rebroadcasting on the internet. You'll find us at todayislam.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking. So come along and bring your computer mouse with you and just park it and listen while we talk about some of the things that will, inshallah, help us to know more about the purification of the soul, or the heart, as many people call it. You know, in Islam, we realize that the heart is the essential center of the matter. Because, alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that there's a morsel of flesh inside of the body, that if it's good, then the whole of the matter is good. But if it's bad, then the whole of the matter is rotten. And that morsel of flesh is the qalb. And in the Arabic language, this would mean the heart. So, we want to see what it is that will purify the heart. And I want to mention some of the things that kind of pick up where I was talking about what dirties the heart, and then we'll talk about what cleans it. We were talking about lying. Lying is one of the things that really will destroy your Islam, it will destroy your heart, it will destroy your life. And it's really the beginning of the matter. It's the beginning of the problem. Before a person gets into drugs, and before a person gets into alcoholism and crime across the board, there's a crime they commit first, and that's lying. That's true. That crime is committed first, and the reason I say that is because when a person starts to do things that are wrong, they have to tell a lie to themselves to say that it's okay to do it, even though it's not okay to do it. So that's where the first crime really begins. It begins inside of the heart. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when a person tells a lie, that it puts a black mark on their heart. And they continue lying until the whole entire heart is darkened. And so this is what we want to talk about today, what it is that we can do to purify or to remove this from the heart. So, the first and most important thing would be to know that there really is a law. And keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's with you in His knowledge at all times. There's no place that you go that He's not aware of what you are doing and what's going on with you. He knows your emotions better than you know your own emotions. The second thing is to keep in mind that He is hearing every single thing. Even what you're thinking in your heart, He's hearing it. He's seeing everything, hearing everything, and knowing everything. Even that which you think you're keeping hidden, you're not hiding it from Allah. I recall a story of a sheikh who asked his students one day to go out and do something. He gave each one of them a sheep, and he told them to go slaughter the sheep. And they all went out. And he said, and when you go out, go to a place where nobody can see you and slaughter these sheep. So each one went in a different direction. And when they came back, each of them had the meat, and they were going to distribute it, I guess, to the poor. But the last one came back, his name Abdullah. And he came back, and he still had the sheep, and it's walking behind him, and its tail is moving, you know, like this, shaking, and he's going, ah, 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 ah. He said, where's Abdullah, man? He didn't slaughter the sheep. He didn't do it. But the sheikh, he told him, you know, just made a motion for them to sit down and be quiet. Then he said, I see all of my students have gone and slaughtered the sheep, but I see this one, Abdullah, he didn't slaughter the sheep. Why? Abdullah said, well, I went to the mountains, I went to the forest, I went to the desert. And all of the places that I went to, I realized, even though the people can't see me, Allah can see me. And you said, slaughter it where nobody could see me. And everywhere I went, I know Allah could see me. So I didn't slaughter it. And everybody started laughing at him. And the sheikh looked at them, and he looked at this boy. He said, you know, Abdullah is the only one who understood the lesson today. I've also heard this story told about birds instead of sheep. But the case is the same. That no matter where you go, Allah, He sees you. He tells us in the Quran that there's not a gathering of three except that Allah is the fourth. And what does He mean by that? Well, Allah is with you in His knowledge, and He's with you in His seeing, and He's with you in His hearing. The one thing I would like to always make this distinction, Surah Muzammil, right? Muzammil? Yeah. Ayah 8, I think it is. 7 and 8, because those are the ones we read today. Huh? So, the subject that we want to stay focused on is the purification of the heart. And what we want to say is that the first thing is to know we can't lie. And we keep in mind Allah is watching us. And this will help. Then, think about Allah. It's crucial to us not to ever put Allah in the creation. So that means we can't compare Allah to anything. We don't say Allah is like something. In fact, Allah tells us what He's not like, and that's His creation. In fact, we even say, and by the way, this is a way to help purify the heart, is to get the right belief about Allah. We even say that if you can see it, or hear it, or smell it, or taste it, or feel it, then we know for sure that's not Allah. Because He doesn't compare to His creation. And He says, وَلَمْ يَكُلْهُ كُفُوَانَ أَحَدْ. And there's nothing that's like Allah. Okay, now, what about the Qur'an? Can the Qur'an help us in purification of the heart? As a matter of fact, it can. In Surah Ra'ad, chapter 13, I think it's in verse 26 or 25, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that the remembrance of Allah, verily in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find this peace. And this is adhkar or dhikr. So dhikr of Allah is very, very important for us. And here we found in the Quran a place to find that. But then also the Quran itself is a form of this purification of the soul. Because it's a source of guidance, and the guidance will help us to get over the problem of this dirty heart, if you want to use that term. Think about how Allah begins the Quran and what He tells us. He says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All the praise is due to the Lord of the worlds. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the merciful, the most merciful, or the gracious, the most gracious. He's re-emphasizing His mercy, His grace that He has. Maliki Yawmiddin, the ruler on the Day of Judgment. And when we say our prayers, by the way, we should think about what they mean, what we're saying. We're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. That you only do we worship, and you only do we turn to for our guidance. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Guide us on the straight path. Siratal ladina an'amta alayhim. The path of those that have your favor. This is the path of those righteous people that went before us, those good people in Islam, the Sahabi and the Khulafa, the leaders after the Prophet and the Prophets themselves. As a matter of fact, these are the people that have this big nama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim. Not the way of those that have Allah's ghadab, His anger. What a dalin, or those who are astray or lost. Then Allah continues and He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. These are three letters from the Arabic alphabet. And then, It says, Daliko Kitabu La Reba Fi. This is the book that has no doubt in it. Hudil Lil Mutakin, a source of guidance for those that have taqwa. And now we come to the subject. And this is the main subject we want to talk about. Because guess what? If you don't have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will not get guidance from this book. He just said so. He just said it. Zaliku kitabu la rayba fi. This is the book that has no doubt in it. Hudul Mutakin. Only the one who has the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mutaki, is going to get the hidayah from this book. So you're going to ask me, okay, then how do I get this taqwa? You have some place you got a special on, like 2-for-1 or Kmart or something. Where do I get taqwa? What is taqwa? You know what's taqwa in the Arabic language? Exactly what it means? Exactly the meaning of the word I'm talking about. Okay. Our Sheikh told us that this is actually a partition, a veil, or something between you and something else. A veil between you and something else. Now, can you put, obviously, but if you listen to the ayah, you get the idea that this must be between you and Allah. But is there some place that you could go that Allah couldn't see you? Of course not. We just said that. So how are you going to put a veil between you and Allah? You can't do it. So what does Allah mean? Taqwa. Why does he use this word? Because it means to put a partition or a veil between you and Allah's ghadab, his anger. When Allah is angry at somebody, who can defend them? Nobody. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with an individual or a group, who could come to their rescue? Nobody. Be afraid of this subject. Because if a person said, no fear, have you seen this on the bumper stickers or on the car said, no fear, hey, I'm not afraid of nothing. We should all be terrified of Allah's ghadab, his anger. Now this is one of the mistakes of the people before us. They said, God is love. God is love. He has no anger. That's a big mistake. We know Allah is loving because He told us in the Quran that He is al-wadud, which means loving. But He's also the one who punishes. Even some of the Muslims make a mistake on this subject. You know that? Have you heard the Muslims when you say, why you don't wear hijab? Or how come you don't have a beard? Or why you don't pray 5 times a day? How come you're not taking care of your responsibility with Allah? Don't you fear Allah? Attaq Allah. From the same word, taqwa. Attaq Allah. Put a veil between you and Allah. Look what they say. Allah Ghafur Rahim. Have you heard this? Allah Ghafur Rahim. Allah is forgiving. He's merciful. And the ayah in the Quran says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. For sure Allah is forgiving. He's merciful. But what's the rest of the ayah say? وَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And He's the one who punishes with a horrible punishment. So be careful. And fear this ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear it. And He mentioned it even in the surah before, in Surah Fatiha. Ghayrul maghdubi. Maghdubi from the word ghadab. Ghayrul maghdubi. Not the way of those that have Allah's anger. So be afraid of that. And then what a dalil, dalala means misguided. And who guides? Who guides? Allah. Who misguides? Allah. These two subjects are very key to us if we're going to purify the heart. Because you have to understand that a part of this is being misguided and having Allah's anger. And what is the taqwa? What is the veil? What is the way that we can get this partition between us and this anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah tells us in the Quran exactly what it is. Because if you keep reading, you see it. Keep reading. Hudil lil muttaqin. For those Muslims who said that the 5 times prayer is okay, well, you know, I don't see it anywhere in the Quran. Wallahi, it's not in the Quran. It doesn't say 5 times a day. That's in the Sunnah of the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is where you learn about the actual prayers, how to perform them, the direction, the Qibla, so and so. There's so much you learn Although these things are mentioned in the Quran, but the Prophet ﷺ makes it clear how to use it. So still though, Allah tells you, you have to establish the salah. And they pay something out of the risk that Allah gives them. In other words, they pay charity from what Allah gives them. They believe in what's being sent down to you, O Muhammad. And they believe what's been sent down to the prophets before. And they believe in the afterlife. And these are the people that are on the guidance of Allah. And he mentions the word Hidayah again here, Huda. And these are the ones that are successful. These are the first verses of the Quran and Surah Baqarah. And it confirms the verses right before it. It's talking about guidance. It's talking about taqwa. Guidance and taqwa. Guidance and taqwa. Don't worry about trying to purify the heart if you're going in the wrong direction. You need to be in the right direction first. And this hidayah is very key to the whole thing. Once we get in the right direction and we learn, we've got to have this taqwa. Where are we going to get it? Hidayah, taqwa. Hidayah, taqwa. We want the hidayah, but in order to get it, we have to have taqwa. We know where to get the hidayah from the Quran, but we can't get it. You will read it until you turn green. But you will not get guidance from the Quran until you have this taqwa. And how will you get it? And Allah tells us this in the Quran as well. You'll find the first big mention of it right here in what I just said. And then also in the Quran, you're going to see it again in Surah Baqarah when Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum. O you who believe, it's been ordered for you, like the people before you, to fast. Fasting is prescribed for you like the people before you. So that you can attain a taqwa. So that you can get this taqwa. So fasting is a good way to get this taqwa. Fasting, voluntary fasting, is a very good thing for us to do. Of course we're going to fast Ramadan, and that needs to be established first, of course. So we need to know that this is a part of getting this taqwa. Because when you voluntarily give up food and you voluntarily give up drink during the day, this is a good thing. It will help draw you closer to Allah. I'm going to bring this to a quicker close than I had planned, so I'm not going to give all of the things tonight. What I would like to do is touch the key points and let you reflect on them yourself and think about it. First of all, your relationship with Allah is what this is all about. That's what the Prophet ﷺ was talking about when he talked about that morsel of flesh in your body. It's talking about your relationship with Allah, and that's really what Islam is all about, isn't it? It's your relationship with Allah. And if your relationship with Allah is not good, then your life is not good. It's as simple as that. You can have all the material success that you want, but if your relationship with Allah is wrong, then your life is wrong. You can be the best basketball star, the soccer player, the one who makes the most money, the most beautiful lady, and so you have talent for acting or you have this thing that people are looking up to you. But all of that's no good if your relationship with Allah is no good. And your relationship with Allah is known to you. You feel it. You know it. And if you want to be close to Allah, let's go through quickly and look at some of the things we should do. First of all, know who Allah is and who He isn't. Second of all, realize that you are the one who is responsible for your relationship with Allah. He's willing always to come to you much faster than you're willing to go to Him. The hadith of the Rasul are clear. He said if a person comes to Allah walking, Allah comes to them running. That if a person go to Allah, handspanned, Allah comes to him, arm's length. And of course, this is a parable, or it's a phrase, not mentioning that Allah is in His creation. But it's understandable that as you make any effort, Allah is going to make it easy for you. But you've got to initiate the effort. It's up to you. You've got to start somewhere. You can't just say, oh, Allah, guide me, and then turn around and continue doing the foolishness that you've been doing. You've got to make a decision to stop. And when you make that decision, I'm ready to stop, I'm ready to turn back to Allah, then you have actually said in Arabic language, a tawbah, turn back. Turn back away from what you're doing and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tells us in the Quran that we're in a journey, traveling away from Allah and coming back to Allah. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَجِعُونَ. For sure we're coming away from Allah, but we're going back to Allah. Now keep this in your mind when you work this formula. Every single one of you and me, all of us, we were in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before. We don't remember that. This is something taken out of our mind. But Allah tells us that He took all of Bani Adam, all of us, out of the backbone of Adam, our grandfather, and put us in front of Him, and He said to us, "Am I not your Lord?" And we all said, "Yes." And then He erased this from our mind, just like you erase a CD or you erase a tape with a magnet. Just wipe it out. He wiped that out from our mind. We forgot that. And by the way, this is the word in Arabic for human beings. Insan comes from the same root as forget. We were created to forget. Forget what? Forget that meeting that we had, and to forget the meeting we're going to have with Him. You were in front of Him. And you'll be back in front of Him again, just this quick. And you'll be asked, "What did you do with this life?" And you won't have good answers if you don't pay attention to this subject. SubhanAllah. So, we in this journey are working toward establishing this taqwa, praying for this hidayah, this guidance, and asking Allah to bring us closer to Him. Because what do you want in the next life? Of course Allah tells us about the rivers that flow underneath the gardens. And He tells us about these beautiful places that you'll see and experience these wonderful things. The food in the Jannah is beyond your imagination. The houses in the Jannah are beautiful beyond the biggest mansion you ever saw here. For your house, for instance, the Prophet ﷺ told us that your house will be like the inside of a pearl as far as you can see in any direction. Amazing! And subhanAllah. Yet, for the men, they have such treasures stored up. For the women, they have such treasures stored up that the box that they have to keep their jewels in is more beautiful than a pearl itself. So, alhamdulillah, this still is not the object that we're looking for. This is not what we're looking for, really, the ultimate object in the Jannah. What are we looking for? What do we want in the Jannah? We want to see Allah. And some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they said, "Will we be able to see Allah? Will we have any difficulty to see Allah in the next life?" And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "Do you have any trouble seeing the moon on a clear night?" They said, "No." "Do you have any trouble seeing the sun on a clear day?" He said, "Of course not." He said, "In the same way, you'll have no trouble to see Allah in the next life." And another hadith, he told us that on Fridays you will go to Allah. You'll be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you will come back to your people and they will say, "Oh, mashallah, you're more beautiful than when you left." So this is the ultimate goal of a Muslim. It's not to go have 70 wives. The ultimate goal is to go and be with Allah. This is the one, if He, Al-Wadud, is loving you, what more do you want than that? What more do you want than to be with the one you love, with Allah? To be in front of Him. To have Him fulfill every single desire you have. To have Him give you whatever you want. So to be with Allah is the thing most important to us. To be cut off from Allah is the worst thing to us. The worst thing to us. And we would avoid that like we would avoid a fire. The worst thing of all, if you think about it, for a person who goes to hell, is the fact that they will never, ever get to see Allah. And Allah will never, ever look at them. That's the worst, worst, worst. Because at least if they could see Allah, they could appeal to Him. "Allah, help them." But nope, finished. You had your chance. So we seek refuge in Allah from this. We don't even want to go there for one second. And we beg Allah for the hidayah, the guidance. Because if He guides us, we'll establish this taqwa. But this part's up to you. The hidayah is from Allah. But the taqwa, this is from you. And you need to work on it. I need to work on it. Let's make a list real quick and see what we can do. First of all, stop lying. Stop it. This is the source of the problem. No lies at all. Not even in jokes. The Prophet ﷺ did not like jokes that had lies in them. Forget it. So, by the way, somebody asked me one time about, can I be a movie actor? I said, as long as you don't have to tell any lies. They said, well, the whole thing's a made-up thing. I said, then you just answered your own question, didn't you? Didn't you? Because they say, well, I have to take on this character and pretend I'm somebody. I said, is this lying or not? Stay away from that. This is your only life you're going to get. You don't get another chance at this. Don't blow this. First, stop the lying. Second, begin to ask Allah. Open up your heart and just directly ask Allah. I'm not talking about anything formal, nothing fancy. Just begin by saying, oh Allah, guide me. Help me, Allah. Help me. And then begin to make sure that you have established the things that are fard on each person. What is fard on you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about a beautiful hadith, and this is what I'll close with. This hadith is the answer to our problems. Listen to what he said. The translation says that Allah said. So that means that this is called Hadith Qudsi, because Allah has said it, a sacred hadith or saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in Quran, but something that Allah has said. He said, I declare harb, war, on anybody who acts with hostility toward a friend of mine. Oh, what? He's going to declare war on anybody that tries to mess around with a friend of his? All right, I want to be Allah's friend. How about you? You do? Okay. This is now going to tell us what to do. He continues by saying, my servant does not come closer to me with anything more beloved by me than what I ordered him to do. The fard. Pray 5 times a day. That's what he told you to do. Fast the month of Ramadan. He told you to do that in Surah Baqarah. Pay the zakah. He told you that throughout the whole Quran. Make hajj. Surah Baqarah. Start at verse 183. Like, pray about hajj. No, that's going to talk about Ramadan. So, go back to 177, back in that area. But, so that, I like to give the numbers, the references, so that you know, when you're at home, you can take these and look them up and read and think about it for yourself. Because the Quran is really going to help you, provided you have this taqwa. It'll help you to see all of it. And then finally, think about this. All the things that Allah ordered us to do, but there's one clear order throughout the Quran over and over. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. So if you've done that, you've completed the first part of what needs to be done to be a friend of Allah. Then he says, and when my servant comes closer, and that means you've put the fard in place, you're praying 5 times a day, and you're fasting the month of Ramadan, and you're paying your zakah, then you can begin to do the extra things, but not until you do that first. You don't go out here and make dhikr all day long and you don't pray 5 times a day. Doesn't make sense. First, you put this in place. Once you put that in place, then you begin to do the extra things. And when you do, then Allah says what? Look what He says. And when my servant comes closer to me, meaning with the acts that are extra, I will love him. You want Allah to love you? I do. Once Allah loves you, you got it. Because look what happens. He said, and when I love him or her, then, listen to this. Whatever they ask for, they're going to get it. Ask for anything, you'll have it. Alhamdulillah. If he seeks my protection, I will grant it. Look at that. Now, anybody mess with you? Anybody bother you? Anybody's messing with the Muslims in general? Allah will protect them. Provided these conditions are in place. And if you said, well, wait a minute, We know that Muslims are being beat up all over the world. Well, now you just gave the answer why, didn't you? Didn't you just figure it out? Because now you see why. Why have women been raped in rape camps in Bosnia? Have you wondered about that? In 1993, it was so bad, they set up camp after camp and tied those women in there, chained them in there, and these men went in there just raping them and nobody could stop them. UN officials went in, and it's documented, the UN officials who were supposed to try to stop this actually participated in it. Nobody stopped them. But guess what? When we began to send the supplies over to the people in Bosnia, they told me, eyewitnesses said they watched, brothers from our masjid who were there, watched it happen, that when the clothing came in, those big boxes and containers from other countries, the women ran to those boxes and started running through, and they were throwing away Calvin Klein jeans, Gloria Vanderbilt jeans, Levi jeans, throwing them away at a time when in Japan those jeans were used worth $400. But they were throwing them away. You know why? Because they were looking for something to make hijab out of. They wanted the hijab. Why? Because they know it would protect them. They put it on, and Allah said what? So that you'll be recognized and not be bothered. But you don't want to learn it the easy way, you want to learn it the hard way. That's the hard way, all right, isn't it? So for the brothers who think, okay, beard is no big deal, okay. And for the ones who say, well, fasting's no big deal, okay. And for the one who said Hajj is no big deal, okay. But what you've done is really put yourself away from Allah. So listen at the very end of the hadith, and this is where I'll end. And at the end of the hadith, he says, Allah says, and I hate to take his life, meaning this person. I hate to take his life. Because he hates to die, and I hate to disappoint him. And this hadith, you can find it in the collection of Sahih Hadith, and also the collection of the Hadith Qudsi. I'll repeat it again now, and you think about the meaning as I say just the hadith, without commentary. This is the English translation. Allah says, I declare war on anybody who acts with hostility toward a friend of mine. When my servant comes, it does not come closer to me by anything that is more love to me than what I ordered them to do in the first place, the fard. But when my servant does come close to me by the extra acts, then I will love him. And when I love him, I knew I missed something in this hadith. I missed this. Astaghfirullah. I'm going to put it in now. It says that when I love him, I will become his hearing and I'll become his sight. And I'll become his grasp, and I'll become his step. And the meaning of this is what? It says that you're not becoming Allah. You're not turning into Allah, okay? And Allah is not entering your body. Forget that. We're not going to go in that direction. But the meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep your hearing away from the things that he doesn't like you to hear. Like sitting around listening to bad talk. Or music, or things like this. And he will keep you from seeing the things which he doesn't want you to see. And he will keep your hand away from the things that he doesn't want you to do, like stealing or other things. And it could also mean your job, the things that you do in your job. He'll keep you in a good job so that you won't have to do things with your hands that Allah doesn't like. And when he says he'll become your step, it will mean that he won't let you go to places that he doesn't like you to go. The places where Muslims don't need to be. So alhamdulillah, alladhi ja'alana muslimin. We praise Allah and we thank Allah for making us Muslim, because it's Allah who give us the guidance to get as far as we are now, and we ask Allah for more guidance. We ask Allah to forgive us. We ask Allah to open our hearts and to purify